it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Connor Newt here with you. It is time for our semi-regular Cam Ward vibe check, 615-737-1025. We like to do this from time to time. And now I think is a good time to do it because the Tennessee Titans have wrapped up mandatory minicamp. We won't see him for about 6 weeks until the start of training camp. So how are you feeling about Ward as the Titans disperse for the summer and after he had an up and down OTAs, to say the least? 615-737-1025. Before we do that, though, we have Scott on the line who wants to comment on our previous conversation about how the Scots, who are in Boston for the World Cup, have consumed every beer in the city of Boston. Scott, thank you so much for calling. Please go ahead. Scott, you there?
Scott, it's Trevor. My apologies.
Okay.
Trevor, quick one for you. So two things. One, a good buddy of mine's girl, JetBlue flight attendant, flight from London to Boston Logan. The Scots drank the plane clean of beer about 2 hours into the flight. They weren't too happy about that. Second one I got for you, Providence, Rhode Island. There's probably about 10,000 Scots that are staying in Providence. Narragansett beer, you go on the Instagram page. These guys, they backed a box truck up full of Narragansett beer and just had a human chain going, filling up the buses full of beer. They cleared the entire box truck out of beer. So these guys are insane. They're drinking everything in sight. Everybody in New England seems to love them, and it seems like they're very good guests, too. So appreciate you bringing up the topic.
Of course. Thank you, Trevor.
Beer gremlins, just taking it all up, just drinking all your beer.
Somebody commented at the Frozen Four this year, which is the NCAA hockey championship. At the Frozen Four this year, the Wisconsin fans drank the taps dry. Their band booed a message asking fans to drink responsibly, and they had a cheer that involved Keystone Light.
yeah, they're some real drinkers right there.
So, Scotland versus Wisconsin. Who you got?
Battle of the beer drinkers.
Who drinks who under the table?
BBD.
Do you think Tennessee could compete? Do you think we're good enough beer drinkers? I
don't know because I'm not a beer drinker.
I was about to say, yeah. I do not drink beer. Sorry, guys. Willie, you're our only hope.
I got to be honest. I think Tennessee would be an underdog.
How much of an underdog?
Now, if it was hard liquor, perhaps, maybe we could compete.
But
yes.
I wouldn't suggest that.
But yes.
Yeah.
If it's brown liquor, maybe we can compete. I don't know how the Scots feel about brown liquor, but beer, I think we would be a massive underdog. All right, so here is what we're going to do. In the style of my Predators off-season survey, here's what we're going to do on this Cam Ward off-season vibe check. And again, if you want to participate, 615-737-1025. Now that you've seen and heard the reports from Cam Ward at OTA practices, training camp is about 6 weeks away. How are you feeling about Ward as the Titans leave for the summer? Here's what we're going to do. On a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being I am as concerned as I possibly can be, and 1 being, of course, no concern at all. On a scale of 1 to 5, where are you on the Cam Ward vibe check? Derek Mason, why don't you kick us off?
1 through 5, 5 meaning?
5 being most concerned, 1 being not at all concerned.
I'm really not concerned right now. You know, we had Gentry on, you know, early in the show, and he talked about, you know, what he was seeing. Connor, you know, talked about what he's seen, and then we went through the whole, you know, routes and option routes and how critical it's going to be that everybody, you know, is on the same page. And when that doesn't happen, you're going to see some miscues here and there. So I think they're going through the growing process right now. And in growing, there's going to be a lot of pain in the process. So at this point, I'm not worried at all. Would I like it to look a little bit better? Yeah, of course. You'd be crazy not to say you wouldn't. But as far as concern, I'm not concerned whatsoever right now.
So on the scale of 1 to 5.
It's a 1.
A 1.
It is a 1.
Willie, are you also a 1?
1 is the least concerned?
1 is the least concerned, 5 is the most concerned.
I think I'm going to surprise you because this is in the context of this is the first pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. He's a quarterback. The bar is going to be high because you've got Daboll coming in and everybody's excited about what he's going to do. They've got a first-round pick. But that raises my concern in the context. So I'm going to say 4.
Wow.
Wow.
I would not
goodness.
Have. I was expecting.
Oh, Lord.
I was expecting a 1.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you,
yes.
honey.
I was expecting a 1.
Doomsday Willie Duck.
Wow.
I think the team is going to struggle, but it's not going to surprise me. But others are going to have a standard that they think, you know, they're hoping to see, you know, a stark change. And I'm looking at more steady improvement. But I think in that steady improvement in the big picture, there's going to be some struggles. So I just think there's a lot that has to go right for him to look way, way better. So I think some people are going to – you're going to hear some noise because the quarterback cannot avoid it. He took a lot of criticism last year, and he had one of the toughest environments that you could have. And the best thing you could say is that he made it into week 17, right, without – you know, having to give up the job or getting badly hurt. So he survived the rookie season. And so that's a very, very low bar. But the expectation level still is of the first pick. So I'm staying with the 4. But I don't take back anything I said about I'm not worried about whether he struggles some in practice. That's going to happen. But I'm concerned that he's not going to make the jump that I think a lot of people hope he's going to make.
So you think people are expecting him to basically do a 180 from where he was last year?
I think some people are unrealistic what it's going to be like.
And I think that would be, you know, for anybody, I think it would be unrealistic. You look at all the great quarterbacks. They had to struggle early on in their careers. However their career, you know, those few years sort of panned out, they had their struggles. Now, some were equipped with better teams, so their struggles were not as noticeable. But I think all these quarterbacks go through their troubles, especially when you draft that high. Some don't get out of them and continue with the troubles. And some, you know, figure it out. And, you know, realistically, it's that third year where you hope that the quarterback that you have is the guy. Because now, one, you're approaching contract status and you're approaching a situation where, hey, listen, we may have to draft our next quarterback. So I think even this year he will not be where fans fans hope that they be, especially if they're thinking he's going to do a 180 and he's learning a whole new offense.
I'm going to meet y'all in the middle. I'm going to put it at a 3 on the concernometer, with 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. Derek's at a 1. Willie's at a 4, surprisingly. I'm going to put it at a 3. And I do think there was a lot of belly aching about Cam Ward's performance in OTAs. Willie, as you have detailed, the process of tracking completion percentage in practice is an inexact science. And this is not meant to be disparaging toward my fellow reporters who are out there tracking these numbers, such as Paul Gaharsky, Nick Suss, Easton Freeze, Terry McCormick, Gentry Estes, so on and so forth. But I think it's a bit subjective. And I think even Paul said to us yesterday that not everybody has the same numbers. So I do think using completion percentage as in practice as a method of evaluation, I think there are too many holes you can poke into that. But overall, I was hoping for more positive reviews from Cam Ward's OTAs and mandatory minicamp. It sounds like he closed it out with some solid days, so maybe you go into the offseason feeling better about where Cam Ward is. Go ahead.
Okay. Just think about this, and again, I'm just trying to give context to what's going on. He's developing. The first half of the season, it's not going well for anybody. Second half, it looks a little better. Then he gets hurt last game of the season. Now he's rehabbing from an injury. And I'm not going to make this about the injury, but the first actual practice where they're all together and they're throwing, he struggles a little. Have you seen the timeline I put everybody on? Like, I would have been surprised if he didn't struggle. Again, the timeline. Started off bad. Coaching staff got fired in the middle of the season. He started to do better. He has a shoulder injury, which he has to have surgery on, I believe, at the end of the season. He's rehabbing from that. Then he gets an opportunity now to practice and throw, and he doesn't look well. Is anybody missing anything here?
I mean, he said the shoulder isn't an issue.
It's not even about the shoulder. Just look at the timeline. He has a new coach, new system. He's been rehabbing a shoulder. He's just now getting back into things.
Well, let me ask
and everybody
this.
Else is doing.
That's where I'm
let
coming
me ask
from
the two of you a
my
question.
Concern, uh-huh. Yes. Because I think you have to factor all those things in. And so to me, this has nothing to do with how he's looked in these practices. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the practices, but I know how the fan base works.
Yes.
I know how the scrutiny of the number one pick works. And so it's built in. They're going to struggle some. And so I'm concerned about how he handles that if the expectations are bigger than they probably should be, reasonably.
Well, let me ask you a question, Derek, that I heard Paul Kaharsky ask Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll and even Cam Ward yesterday. Mm-hmm. How much of Cam Ward's inaccuracy in practice can you attribute to the newness of everything versus how much of it can you attribute to Cam hasn't always or really ever been the most accurate quarterback?
Okay. Again, I think you can – both of those things can work simultaneously together. Him not being the most accurate quarterback, he has his issues when it comes to accuracy. It's better than some – a lot worse than others. So he already has this, but he showed he was developing it a little bit. He was getting a little bit better. Then he has the shoulder injury. Now it's a new system. So what do you think is going to happen when a guy that is trying to develop his accuracy issues, and then you put him in a new system where he has to, you know, figure out new players? You tend to see a little regression before you see him take that big step. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely could happen, yeah.
You saw him last week. Well, what was talked about him last week is different from this week. Not to say it's a big difference, but I think people went out and saw a different Cam Ward this week than they saw last week.
I think that's a reasonable response. One texter says, my optimistic expectation is he manages the game and doesn't try to win the game with a better coach and hopefully a better defense. He can be successful in controlling his fundamentals and continue to build his confidence. But look, I agree with Willie, and we're going to get more into this, of course, as the season nears and once the games actually start. People lose all concept of rational thinking when it comes to a young, highly drafted quarterback. And if Cam Ward doesn't make the Caleb Williams, Drake May jump, oh boy, you know we're going to hear about it. But again, you have to wonder if Cam Ward is a prospect on the level of Caleb Williams or Drake May. I think talent evaluators would tell you that the two of them are better than Cam. Mm-hmm. If you were to put them all in a list of where those quarterbacks ranked coming out of college, I believe Matt Miller from ESPN did that exercise last year. I'm sure I can find it. But I just know, and Willie made this point, and then we'll get your reaction, 615-737-1025, that if Cam Ward doesn't make that jump, or show signs that he can make that jump, to quote my son, we're going to have problems. 615-737-1025. 1025. It's a Cam Ward offseason vibe check. The offseason program is over. We're not going to see the Tennessee Titans on the field until the end of July when training camp starts. After everything we've talked about at OTAs, where are you on Cam Ward? How confident are you in Cam Ward as the Titans disperse for the summer? 615-737-1025. And also coming up next, I can't tell if this text message is meant to be sarcastic, but somebody said something that it pisses me off when people say this about athletes, and we'll get to it next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Continuing our Cam Ward off-season vibe check, 615-737-1025. How are you feeling about Cam Ward now that the Titans off-season program is over? On the concernometer, 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. Derek Mason is at a 1. I am at a 3. Willie Donick off the top rope with a 4. But while we're awaiting your responses, there is a text here that I don't know if Craig is being sarcastic or not. And if you are, Craig, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to use you to make a point. Here is a text from Craig on our Cam Ward vibe check. After hearing all of the reports about Cam, I better not see any pictures of him on vacation. If there is one line of commentary, and I don't like to use this word. I don't think it's a good word, but I'm going to use it here because I feel so strongly about this. If there is one line of commentary that I hate in the world of sports, it's, well, if this athlete had a bad season or a bad game, he is not allowed to have any fun all off season long. I remember Ryan Tannehill? Ryan Tannehill blew the Bengals playoff game, and then there was that picture of him on the boat with the energy drink, and people were like, oh my God, he went fishing when he should have locked himself in a room for the entire offseason crying and watching film. Athletes are not automatons. They're not robots. So if Cam Ward struggled in practice and he wants to go to the beach for a day, do it. Like, I don't think athletes should not be allowed to have fun or blow off some steam if they're coming off of a bad year or a bad performance. Like if Victor Wembanyama goes on a European excursion and he's photographed at the Vatican, are people going to be like, wait a minute, he's not spending 23 hours and 55 minutes a day practicing his jump shot after he sucked in the NBA Finals? Like, you can miss me with that commentary. If Cam Ward wants to go on vacation and post a photo, go for it. Like, we've got to stop this. Like, if you have a bad year, you're not allowed to have any fun. Like, Cam Ward is going to spend the next 40 days locked in a transparent cube like the one in Times Square where the soccer fans are watching the World Cup, and he's just going to watch film 24 hours a day, and you can come by and watch him watch film through the transparent cube. So,
but what do we know about Cam Ward? All people could talk about last year was he gets there at 5 o'clock in the morning with the rookies and all that. We don't have to worry about that. Cam Ward is going to put in the work. That's the thing that gives me the most hope about him.
I'm not going to worry about whether he's going to vacation or not. I know he knows there's a balance, and I know he understands, you know, what his responsibility is as a franchise quarterback. So he's going to do what he feels is necessary to make sure he's ready to lead this team. And if he chooses to take a vacation, he has every right. He has a family, too, I'm pretty sure, that wants to, you know, have some downtime before, you know, you get back into the season, which is a long, grueling one.
So I don't know if Craig is being serious or not, but I, generally speaking, I despise that sort of commentary, that if an athlete has a bad season or falls short in a playoff game or in a championship series, then that athlete has to spend every waking moment of the offseason training to get better, to overcome whatever happened to him in that season or in that playoff game or in that championship series. So,
right. It's why vacations were invented in the first place, right? You're more effective as a person at your job mm-hmm. when you're able to have that balance and get away from it. Some you getting away from it helps you be better. That's the idea.
Yes.
Within reason, right? Yeah. I mean, you can't just go to the beach for 5 months and not look at a, you know, not pick up a football or go in the weight room. I get that, but you got to give them a little bit of leeway here.
One texter says, but Adam, at least this guy is just talking about vacation. James Dolan would say no making whoopee all offseason.
Yeah,
that was only for 10 weeks.
Yes. Well, there are 6 weeks until training camp. So Robert Saleh says to Cam Ward, lay off the seed oils. No making whoopee for the next 6 weeks. It's film, film, film. But
that's
again,
typically how it is for, you know, the weeks there.
I mean, Derek, what should we expect Cam Ward to do for the next 6 weeks?
You expect him to be a leader, and that is making sure that not only him, but those guys that are going to help in, you know, his development are around and they're working together. This is not, I don't think this is a time where guys go out and work individually. I think working individually was when you stop playing at the end of the season up until camp ended. Mini camp started. Now, before this big camp, they should use outside of, you know, having their time with their family. But this is a time where they need to use it where all these guys are working together, because the time that you used to get, you just don't get no more. So working together in all season for these next 6 weeks, it's imperative.
What did you do? How did you spend? I know it was a different time.
Different time.
But how did you spend your break between the off-season program and training camp?
We took one vacation, typically, and that was right before camp started, like a week, by maybe 10 days before camp started. So we took a week off. But before then, I was training all the way up until I took that week off just to let my body sort of rest. And then I knew I was jumping right back in it right when I got back. So it was always that balance. Work all the way up until, you know, a week, 10 days or 2 weeks, and then you take a week off and then you go to camp after that.
By the way, we do have a new contender in the World Cup drinking competition. As we've mentioned, it's been reported in many places that the Scottish soccer fans visiting Boston for the World Cup have consumed every beer.
Ooh.
There's a beer emergency in the city of Boston. Not too far from Scotland, the English fans, they said, no pun intended, hold my beer. This from CBS. Hundreds of supporters of the English national team were kicked out of a Dallas bar Tuesday night ahead of the Three Lions' first match this Wednesday against Croatia. By the way, England won that match. Apparently, at this pub in Dallas, it was reported that the England fans drank 5,000 beers, spending £30,000 or more than $40,200 American dollars.
Wow.
$40,200.
It's a lot of beer, man.
5,000 beers.
The World Cup only comes around once every 4 years. So
celebrate it.
Just bring it. Bring your best.
Wow.
Worry about
everything
else later.
A beer that you consume.
Another English fan said, and I quote, we're going to get drunk before the game, we're going to get drunk during the game, and then we're going to get drunk after the game.
But I would say you're already drunk.
I mean, that guy was probably drunk. I'm only reading the quote. I bet if I turned on the sound, he probably sounds drunk. But
let me ask you this. When you do that, when you employ that strategy, do you remember what happened in the game in a couple of weeks or
if they have a high tolerance?
I think I was at the World Cup. I think. What happened in the game? I think we won.
I'm sure there's a lot of video.
I could go back
from
and watch
friends.
It. But, you know, I don't remember that. What happened in the second half? Oh, well, I was passed out.
Gosh. That's remarkable.
Yes.
It's truly remarkable.
I am blown away. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised that England and Scotland have a lot of professional drinkers. Mm-hmm. But it is really something. I mean, look, nobody outside, of course, of the United States, nobody has captured my heart more than the Japanese because of cleaning up after themselves.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That is a big one. And, of course, how much they love a quote-unquote cost-performance steak from Texas Roadhouse. I mean, we can all agree on that. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your Cam Ward vibe check submissions. How are you feeling about Cam Ward now that the off-season program has come to an end? We'll continue to take your thoughts, and we'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Dunick, 102.5 The Game, wrapping up today's program. We have, as we say in the radio business, a loaded show for you tomorrow. Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com will join the program at 3:20. New Predators forward Ross Colton, acquired from the Colorado Avalanche yesterday, will join the program at 4. And as always, at 5 o'clock, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, will join us. So Mike Herndon at 3:20, Ross Colton at 4, Elliot Freeman at 5. You really have no excuse to miss all of those wonderful guests. Jerry on our text line regarding the more than $40,000 spent on beer by English soccer fans at a pub in Dallas says, let's do the math here. Large bar, and let's say hundreds of fans, let's say 500, in a 3-4-5 hour period, each one of them drinks 10 beers. That's possible. I've seen my golf buddies do it. So 500 fans, 10 beers apiece. That's 5,000 beers at $8 a beer. That's $40,000 worth of beer. It's really not that much when you break it down, just saying, well, Jerry, I will speak for myself. 10 beers sounds like a lot of beers. I don't think I've ever had 10 beers in one sitting in my life, nor do I think I could ever drink 10 beers in one sitting in my life. So maybe 10 beers to you isn't a lot of beers for one person, but it is to me.
That is a lot of beers.
So that's just me.
Man, 10 beers? Huh? I guess there are people that can do it.
I've talked to some hockey people that were quite legendary over the years. there was the famous – what's the most famous one for baseball? It's like Wade Boggs on like a – Boston to Los Angeles trip that had a legendary amount of beers. It's a lot more than 10.
Man. Woo, 10 beers. That's a lot.
Wade Boggs allegedly.
How big are the beers?
Wade Boggs allegedly guzzled 107 beers in a single day.
Oh, heck no. 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 That's not even
right.
It was
his birthday the other day. It was actually his birthday. He's still going.
Man.
How many beers do you think he can drink now?
I wouldn't even want him to drink that
many.
It's
a really good question. I don't know the answer.
Wow, that is a lot.
Does it talk about the flight, the legendary flight?
I can find it.
107 in a day. How do you get that much beer on a plane, number one? He's not the only guy drinking the beers.
He must have been drinking before they got on the plane, during the, like, way before they got on the plane.
So
and
here,
then during the, what, six-hour flight?
I found a story. Here is what one flight attendant allegedly said about Boggs drinking 107 beers in a single day, consumed on a single cross-country flight from Boston to Los Angeles in 1994. Quote, the plane takes off, right? And the guys immediately start doing the usual, cracking open beers, dealing cards, lots of macho back slapping. Boggs was certainly enthusiastic, I'll give him that. About an hour in, I collected 5, maybe 6 empties from him. I remember thinking that was pretty impressive. Then one of his teammates, clearly drunker than even Boggs was at the time, slaps Boggs on the back and goes, Boggsy, you're at like 51 beers, brother. He only had like 6 cans next to him. But Boggs looked down at the empty beers and said, let's see how many I can get down before this bird lands, boys.
Oh, my goodness. Did somebody have to carry him off?
Around what I guessed was beer 9, Boggs stands up all wobbly, shirt already off for some reason, and slurs, cheers to number 60, before attempting to crush a half-full Miller Lite on his own forehead. Only it doesn't crush, so he just keeps smashing it against his face like he's headbutting a soup can. Eventually, the beer explodes, and he starts bleeding from his head, likely severely concussed.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like something out of Always Sunny.
The guy probably won the batting title by, like, 30 points that year, too.
Yeah. Goodness, man.
Gino says, no wonder I grew up loving Wade Boggs.
He was a master at beer drinking.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know if that story's true or not. Maybe I even read
folklore.
Maybe I even read a fake story. Maybe I was fooled by like an Onion type story, but that sounds like a pretty good story to me. So I'm going to believe it. I am going to believe it.
Okay, say in 10 years, where do you think that number is going to be? Of beers that he drank.
200.
Right? Yeah, be about 200 beers.
Tall tales.
Yes. So on our Cam Ward vibe check, one texter who tuned in late because they were, quote unquote, doing a search and rescue case wants to know why Willie is so concerned about Cam Ward. 4 out of 5.
Well, okay, I gave my explanation before. It has a lot to do with the expectation level of the first pick in the draft. Right, the first pick in the draft, who is a quarterback, is held to a very unfair standard. That is where, in a nutshell, most of my concern lies. And I'm trying to be realistic. Carnell Tate, I don't think, is going to light it up on day one. It's going to take him some time. You've got a brand new offense. You got a brand new head coach. You got a brand new offensive coordinator. He's only in his second year. You don't have a loaded team in front of him. It just stands to reason there's going to be some struggles. So that's where my concern is coming from.
Tomorrow in New York City, the Knicks championship parade.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how many people. Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, it starts at like 10 a.m., so hopefully people aren't too drunk. And I have to imagine people are going to get down there in the middle of the night to claim their place on the parade route. But apparently it ends with a performance from Alicia Keys. I mean, I've been watching a lot of the interviews that the players have done. There was one, I think it was either the Today Show or Good Morning America. They sort of run together. And it was Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby and I think Karl Anthony Towns and some others. And OG Anunoby, man, he looked rough. Like, he had not slept in days.
He probably has.
Like, I have to imagine those guys have partied so hard, and understandably so. I wonder what condition they will be in tomorrow. And as you know, if you've watched championship parades, somebody is going to get really drunk and say something incredibly inappropriate into a live microphone. Yes. I wonder who it will be.
Oh, who do you think it would be?
You know Cat. What we need to do?
No, I don't think it'd be Cat.
Cat will say something.
I don't think it'd be Cat. Maybe Josh.
It's going to be Josh Hart. I think it's going to be Josh Hart.
I think it may just be Josh Hart.
You know what? I think we should also just have our top three or four moments. Not that we could play it all on the air, but some legendary moments of stuff said at those things. Just some names. I'm trying to remember some of the great ones, just like slurring, or sometimes people who are not from America in heavy accents and things like that.
Well, I will. Speaking of Russians, I will tell you what my.
Like, didn't Kucherov go crazy at one of these things?
Probably. But one that I know is near and dear to a lot of my friends' hearts. When the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup in 2018, they won it in Vegas, so that was probably a blur. But when they came back, like, I wonder what it was like for the Hurricanes. They won it in Vegas over the weekend as well.
Goodness.
The Stanley
Cup. People saw the sun come up. I think that's a good bet.
I mean, the Golden Knights have only been in existence for 9 seasons, and in those 9 seasons, the Stanley Cup has been awarded in Las Vegas. The Capitals won in Las Vegas in 2018, the Golden Knights won in 2023, and the Hurricanes won it in 2026. So there have been some long Vegas nights with the Stanley Cup already. But when the Capitals came back, I mean, I'm sure people remember this. At one point, the team ended up in Georgetown and was splashing around in a fountain in Georgetown. Like, Alex Ovechkin was doing snow angels in a fountain in Georgetown, if I recall correctly. So that was a fun memory off the top of my head, championship parade shenanigans. But yes, I am interested to see who says something wildly inappropriate into a live microphone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Travis Kelce a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl and started drunkenly singing Friends in Low Places?
Yes.
That's on brand.
Oh, man. Let me see.
Willie, does one come to mind for you?
Wait, what? Which?
He said Travis. He said Jason. Was it Jason or Travis?
No, it was Travis. Jason was the one who showed up in like the Mardi Gras.
How about when Tom Brady throw the Lombardi Trophy from one boat to the other
to
and
Gronk.
It broke?
Oh yes,
to Gronk.
In the Tampa Bay Buccaneers championship parade.
Drink, right, it was dangerously close to like sink into the bottom.
Yes, that I remember. Let's see what else.
I want to say Ivan Barbashev a couple years ago when he was playing for the Golden Knights just said some absolutely crazy stuff.
How about Mark Madsen dancing at the Los Angeles Lakers parade
like 25 years ago? Oh, D-Mace has got to remember that one. That was a long time ago.
Goodness.
That was funny.
Oh, man. I feel like
Pat Riley came up with the term three-peat. Didn't he copyright it?
I believe he did, yes.
And he called for a three-peat after he goes, and next year we're going to win it again. It'll be a three-peat. Didn't he say something like that?
He did coin the phrase three-peat, so I don't know if he coined it that day, but he eventually trademarked it.
I'm trying to think of other good. I'm sure like when
I feel like if we Google this we could come
I'm
up
sure
with
I'm sure when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title, I'm sure J.R. Smith did something wild. I can't recall.
No. He had a bottle of Hennessy.
One of the things that I remember about that is Ernest Biner came to that, and they like honored Ernest Biner because he sort of characterized the pain of the Cleveland fans, and they like everybody started bursting into tears just, you know, saying, "Ernest, this is for you." You know, all of that stuff.
I was thinking about, I was watching Ernest Jones, where he went off on everybody.
Yes. Former Tennessee Titan, Ernest Jones, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. I am very curious. I do wonder if Elmo gets invited to the championship parade, or if he is dead to all of the New Yorkers for not picking a side in the NBA Finals. I mean, his head was paraded around the streets of New York on the pike with the word traitor underneath.
If I'm Elmo, I wouldn't show up.
Yeah, Elmo might want to stay on Sesame Street. Yeah. Elmo might want to stay on Sesame Street, but I do love a good parade. So,
will they give Danhausen a float?
They should.
He is partially to
have y'all seen this? So Danhausen is a professional wrestler who masquerades as like this sort of ghoulish figure. He's got black, white, and red face paint, and he has the power to curse people, quote unquote. And he uncursed the Knicks, and then the Knicks won.
Yes, he deserves
13 games in a row. He was on Stephen A. Smith's podcast today. I saw he's doing well.
He definitely deserves a float.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if he made an appearance at the parade. By the way, Chuck.
Okay, we also need him to lift the curse on the Mets while we're at it.
Well, Willie, he does have a cameo, and if you pay him human monies, he will uncurse your favorite team.
So this is similar to your program about helping people with their vocabulary.
Right, and by the way, Chuck says today's word of the day is wifty, a synonym of ditzy, describing something or someone eccentrically silly or scatterbrained.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to incorporate the word of the day into the program moving forward.
Wifty?
Wifty. W-I-F-T-Y.
So we're going to incorporate that tomorrow?
No, we'll have to see what tomorrow's word of the day is.
Okay.
That's today's word of the day.
Okay, wifty.
One texter says, the L.A. Rams multiple times on stage. F them picks during the during the Rams championship Super Bowl
that was true.
Parade. So we will see if the Knicks behave themselves. They probably won't, but we'll still find out. Tomorrow, once again, many wonderful guests on the program. Mike Herndon of PaulGaharski.com will join the program at 3:20. New Predators forward Ross Colton will join the program at 4. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at 5. So, really, there's no excuse for you not to be listening to the show tomorrow. But in the meantime, Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back on these airwaves starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. And as I always say, we're going to be talking and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.